Running it back with our all-pro cornerback, Raiders legend, Eric Allen, joining us on a Monday here on the Morning Tailgate. EA, how you feeling?
This morning, I was expecting to be in an exciting mode where, you know, that the win is carrying over to today, but unfortunately, the Chargers were the better team yesterday.
Yeah, EA, you know, let's just jump right into it. Not what we expected in terms of establishing the identity that Antonio Pierce wanted, establishing the trenches, running the ball. What was your biggest takeaway when you watched the game? You have a night to sleep on it. What was your biggest takeaway from week one?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think going into this game, definitely wanted to see which football team was more true to their identity. We knew John Harbaugh was going to be a guy who wanted to win the line of scrimmage. And for the most part, the first half, defensively, and they did an outstanding job, you know, 0-for-7 on third down, only 26 yards rushing, and held the Chargers pretty much in check. Offensively, it just seemed more like a practice. And it just really did. It seemed like there were spurts and there was explosive plays, but it wasn't the finish. So all in all, when you look at the game, it's a tale of two halves. And as you know, this is a game of ultimate outcomes. Well, you have to be able to finish in the end. You have to be consistent. And so I just didn't see those things yesterday. And I think, you know, a couple of those things that popped up yesterday, we also questioned during the preseason, particularly the run defense. And like I said, first half, 26 yards. They end the night with 176 yards, and that's pretty much all you get to say.
Eric, I know you were there in training camp, standing over there on the sidelines with us. I have to say that I'm not necessarily surprised by the lack of cohesion and the lack of rhythm, the lack of flow offensively, because quite frankly, we haven't seen any of that at all, whether you're talking about, like you said, the preseason or in training camp. So how surprised really should we be that it was a struggle offensively?
You know, not much, and that's a great point. And you go back to offense needs some consistency. It needs a vibe. It needs to have some cohesion. And you're talking about, you know, a quarterback who, you know, this is his first year being the starter. I mean, the last 2 weeks being named the real starter. So you're getting all those first team reps, and you really never had an opportunity through, you know, Devontae Adams being absent because of the beautiful birth of his child. So he missed quality time. Of course, Brock not seeing a lot of time because of his situation, offensive line wise. You know, so at every level on offense, you know, we had a major piece not practicing, you know, with the quarterback. So you get into the first game and you expect to have that, you know, nonverbal communication, particularly, well, let's go back to the fumble interception, where it was a hot route, but the timing was all off. So, you know, Gardner tries to pull the ball back. It slips out of his hands. And I'm pretty sure if those two players had really worked together and had that communication, it would have been a better outcome. But those are the certain things on offense that really was troubling, and that needs to be fixed in a hurry.
Eric Allen here with us on the Morning Tailgate, part of our Monday Morning Cornerback here on Raider Nation Radio 920. With that being said, when you look at the end result and you see the Raiders offense 4 of 13 in short yardage situations, what adjustments need to be made?
Well, I tell you, we go back to the one play where a lot of people are talking about, hey, you should have went for it on fourth down. But really, what you seen earlier in the game made Coach AP make that decision. You know, not being able to get it on either one of those early downs, you have to find a way now if you're not going to be able to accomplish those things in the heavy package. So they went 13 package, you know, one receiver, three tight ends, weren't really able to establish anything at the line of scrimmage. So now you go back into the drawing board. Maybe it's better to spread people out. So now you're working with a lighter box. And that may be a great opportunity for you to really use your personnel to your benefit. So you have Devontae Adams out wide. You have Jacoby Myers out wide. You have Brock out wide. So now those bodies in that box have to spread out a little bit more. Then it gives you an opportunity maybe to run the football or throw a quick pass. So it's going to be a really interesting week this week because you want to play takeaway. against the Ravens, and usually you think takeaway, you think running the football, but not a lot of success at that point. So your personnel may shout, hey, let's spread this football team out and see how that goes maybe next week. So this is going to be an interesting week as far as what adjustments we make on offense, but it has to be done quickly.
EA, you obviously lived it. You've been through big wins, tough losses, division wins. What is the mood in the room on a day like today where there's so much energy and there's so much focus from the offseason leading up to a week one road division game? Raider Nation showed up, showed out, as always, at SoFi Stadium. But to have the drop-off and the loss on Sunday, guys are professionals. I get that. But what is that mood, and how difficult is it to, you know, look at the tape, pivot, move on?
Guys, I'm going to take you back to when we're all, you know, 10, 11 years old for Christmas, right? And all week long, you're thinking about that huge present that's in the corner. Right? And you're thinking, yeah, that's the one I wanted. That's the one I wanted. I know mom and dad got it for me. And you open it up, and it's like, this is not what I was expecting. But you're still excited, you know, but you think you have it all together, the vibe, the tone, the presence from preseason. And sometimes when you get to the real season, when you get to that first game, you have so many jitterbugs and you're so excited about what you're going to do and how you're going to accomplish it, and then it kind of falls flat on its face. So you have that quick turnaround. You get back on, particularly if it's a road game, and you have to get back and kind of not wash it, but it's really important that you take lessons from that first game and kind of incorporate that into the Tuesday, Wednesday first kind of episodes of practice and make sure you kind of work those things out. So when you get to the game next Sunday, you're not really worried and concerned. That's not baggage for you. That's something you've cleared up. You got to show that you understand what you've done and then be able to fix it and show the coaches and the players that you fixed those issues during practice. So in the game, you can kind of come out fresh. So, yes, it's a devastating loss for us with the Chargers being the two young football teams are kind of going at it, trying to establish what they want to do and be physical, and we lost that battle. So you don't have to scrap the whole thing, but it's really important that you learn from that first win throughout the Wednesday practice. And by Thursday, that game needs to be gone. You need to go on into the next game.
Eric, I'm going to give the defense, cut the defense a little bit of slack. I felt like they were out there, you know, far too long in this game, and you know, probably had some wear down in a first game. But to me, the long runs were inexcusable, and even that 12-yard touchdown run by Dobbins was the result of just a bad, you know, run fit. I want to say it was Divine Diablo who just didn't do his job. And I saw breakdowns that you just can't have in run defense. But if you can, from a defensive perspective, maybe explain, you know, what those breakdowns were on those long runs and that 12-yard touchdown run.
You're exactly right. You hit it right on the head. Run fits. I thought for the most part, particularly early, they played what we call with heavy hands. So those guys up front were able to get their hands on those offensive linemen, extend it, get their head on the opposite side of the shoulder, see where their running lane is, and either step into that running lane or either throw the blocker opposite and be able to make the play. Those two big runs, there was no really heavy hands, linebackers in the wrong gaps, and then had to try to adjust to the inside, and he just didn't make the tackle. And kind of go back to last year, early on in the season, how many times did we talk about missed tackles? It was all over the place. We thought we'd clean those things up. And usually those things pop up early in the season because of nowadays we don't really play in the preseason games a lot. And so we don't get that tackle to the ground effort because you obviously don't want to hurt anybody. So those first couple games are really, really important for our guys to be able to kind of lean back on those really good tackling habits. So you're right. Both run fits wrong. Not being able to be in the B gap when you need to be, kind of playing with soft hands, kind of guessing which way the running back is going to bounce, and you guess wrong. And then on the back end, you can't allow that big run. You have to find a way to get, if you're a safety or a corner, and you know the running back is 7, 8, 9, 10 yards downfield, you got to find a way to get that guy on the ground to give your defense another chance. And that's all you're thinking if you're in that second level, that second to third level, is get him down to give my defense another chance to be able to win. So that was a whiff. You can't do that. And then your course, you're right, as far as the run fits are concerned, you've got to be in the proper gaps, particularly late in the game when a guy like Dobbins is kind of bouncing it and using good vision.
Eric, how would you describe the play of the secondary, and what do you think about what will happen with Jack Jones this week? Could a suspension loom in the making for the Ravens game?
Yeah, that's difficult for us. Facing a guy like Lamar Jackson this week, who's awfully mobile, can kind of do a little bit of everything. So you need somebody kind of understands what the position is about. Overall, though, I was really, really happily surprised by Jacorian Bennett. I thought he played well. Wasn't really targeted a lot, but when he was targeted, really sticky defense. The one on the right sideline, that was just great coverage, worked through the hands. So it's really good to see a young guy have a solid game after last year's first games kind of struggled a lot. So really happy to see that. And then Jack is always spicy. I thought the Chargers were really concerned about the quarterback being in the pocket too long, and that's why we didn't get a ton of sacks. The ball was out early, and a lot of times they were on the short side of the field, and Jack was kind of in man-to-man, so he could see the cushion that Jack was giving. But Jack's an outstanding football player, and we have to have him. Hopefully he's not suspended. And I know you want to stick up for your guy, that brawl in the red zone and the goal line there. You want to stick up for your guy, but just got to have a good sense about you and know that, hey, this game's over. I got to make sure that I'm available for my team. So hopefully he's not there. But overall, I thought pass defense, only 144 yards, by the Chargers quarterback. And I think going into the football game, if you just said, hey, the Chargers going to have 144 yards passing, you would have took that any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Well, Raider Nation can rest easy, because there's one thing I know. If Jack Jones does have to miss time, could suit up Eric Allen. Have you seen this guy? Have you seen the shape this guy's in? He's running dudes off the floor at the local LA Fitness in San Diego. Eric That's Allen, right. Raiders right. Raiders legend. We appreciate you. Friend of the program and the newest debutante for the Monday Morning Cornerback. EA, you're the man, brother. We appreciate you.
Hey, man, I always appreciate you guys. Thank you. See you next week.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. I can't help but think, and I want to ask Clay, you first, then I'm going to ask Vinny, that Christmas where there's a big present and you open it and it is not what you thought. What was that present for you?
It was the Adidas red jogging suit, which I wanted. But when you're like 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, it's like, I was kind of open for that computer or whatever. It's like anything, happy with what I got. This is okay. You got to have that face like, this is all right.
Anybody who just listened to that immediately thought of that present that they got that they were not. Vinny, what was it for you?
Well, I'm gonna tell you how us Italians do it, even when we were kids. We would always ask for the highest, highest, highest thing, knowing that we weren't going to get that.
Right.
Because we knew that, because they're like, I can't get that, but we'll get the second level of that, which is exactly what we wanted anyway. So there aren't too many days. We played our parents like a fiddle a little bit by asking for the moon and then settling for the stars. But I guess, there were a couple of times where it was just like, I can't exactly remember because it's been so long ago. But there were those days where it was like, all right, this isn't exactly what I wanted, but thanks, Mom and Dad.
I could still feel the pit in my stomach. And my parents did the same thing every Christmas. You would think I would learn. They would give me, the socks,
sure.
Underwear,
yep.
In these, but they would put them in boxes, and you'd open the box thing. It's this big box, and it's just clothes you don't need. And then the bike, they would say, hey, go take out the trash. Christmas is over. And then the bike would be by the trash cans out in the backyard. And my mind would be blown. But
good.
As soon as he said that, my first thought was, oh, those socks. Those socks again.
Yeah. It's the old Eddie Murphy routine. Brute by
Fabergé.
Fabergé. Thanks. Thanks, kids.
But
thanks
so much.
But you know what? I think that's a great point, and I think that's a great way to put it for the way EA did. You're hyped up. You're looking forward to this day, week one, rivalry game. You have all these thoughts and the word potential gets put out there. And I think what's tough for Raider Nation, and maybe I'm not reading the tea leaves right, so I'll toss it to you guys what you guys think, but it just feels like no matter how they lost, it was always going to be disappointment, right? It was always going to be frustration, be like, oh, that's not a game we should have lost. It was always going to be disappointment. I think it's how we saw it play out. The defense was lights out early. The offense just, we knew it was going to be a work in progress, but we thought it was going to be the passing game that was going to be the work in progress. We thought at minimum we would get average rushing attack, and we didn't even get that. And I think that's what was most frustrating. What do you think, Vinny?
Here's I'm going to say maybe more than any other year that I've been covering this team. I think that there was a box underneath that that Christmas tree, and it was a pretty big, you know, box under that Christmas tree. But I think for the first time since I've been covering the team, nobody knew what was in that box. There was skepticism that the great present was going to be in there, and a little bit of a worry that the one that you really didn't want was going to be in that box. I can't remember a time, and I've been on so many shows, the pregame show yesterday, where it was, I don't know what to expect. There's a lot of unknown about this team. And that goes to maybe a little bit of lack of confidence in this team, and too much of what we saw in training camp, where it was just like, this doesn't look really that good, especially offensively. Defensively, without question, it's looked really good. And has, but especially offensively, there just wasn't a lot of that you could say, oh yeah, you know, when you go through training camp, there has to be some ooh and ah moments. Some, you know, every practice there has to be at least three or four of those ooh ah moments where you're over there on the sideline going, wow, what a play by so and so, wow, what a throw by so and so. There wasn't any of that, you guys, during training camp. I don't want to, you know, throw a wet blanket on all this, but I'm being honest about what I saw during camp. There wasn't a whole lot where you're going, oh wow, they have a chance to be really explosive. In fact, talking to people in the organization, they understand those big plays are going to be few and far between this year. They just aren't built like that. And so that's why we keep talking about that collective effort. We keep talking about having to be perfect. We keep talking about having to avoid turnovers and win those little battles, you know, throughout the game. You can't. There's no leeway here. There's just no leeway here, and you can't have that kind of a game that they had yesterday and expect to win. And that's why, for me, looking at that big toy or that big box underneath the Christmas tree, I honestly had no idea what was going to be in that box. I feel like every week, Raider Nation and us are going to go into games wondering what exactly is going to be inside that box this week.
And maybe something to what Eric Allen was talking about, of like, if you are having a hard time getting into short yardage situations, maybe try to lighten the box instead of, if you see that it's not working in your 13 package with three tight ends and one wide receiver, start spreading people out. Try to make that adjustment and see where that works. And maybe that would be a system that would work better for what they're trying to do, especially for Minshew.
Yeah, I just saw too many. Minshew obviously wasn't able to cover up a lot of the mistakes, right? And
yeah.
I don't think anybody's surprised at that fact. But I think when I look back at the tape, just far too many just flat out whiffs. And I know, I believe it was Eddie, the caller last hour, Eddie in LA, mm-hmm. who was talking about he didn't see any change-ups during the game. He didn't see any scheme adjustments. And I'll be honest with you, yesterday was not a scheme game. Yes, there was little adjustments here and there. I would not call yesterday a chess match by any stretch of the imagination. Yesterday was line up, who can push the other back? And the Chargers pushed the Raiders back more often than the Raiders did. So when I look at, you know, why weren't there any adjustments? To me, they just got flat out beat in terms, and it started in the trenches.
Physically.
And offensively, on that offensive line, they just could not hang trying to push that defensive line back. Because I think you talked about it earlier, Vinny, the Chargers weren't doing, Jesse Minter, the Chargers D coordinator, wasn't doing any exotic schemes, any crazy, stunts or blitzes, things that these guys haven't seen. They just flat out beat them. The 12-yard touchdown J.K. Dobbins had was a bad run fit by Divine Diablo. Instead of going into, I believe it was the C-gap, he runs outside of Max Crosby leaves a wide open hole. It's a walk-in touchdown. You know, Spillane and Diablo get caught up too far inside on the 61-yard touchdown or on the 61-yard run by Dobbins, and, you know, that's essentially the game at that point. So when people say, oh, you know, they're correctable. They're correctable mistakes.
Well,
it's true, but this team is not does not have the luxury to make those mistakes to cover up the rest of the mistakes. Like, Daniel Carlson is money. I'll take him from that range every day of the week. Last year, he only missed one from that range. Those are the mistakes you just can't afford with this team the way it's constructed. Is Daniel Carlson going to hit the rest of those? Probably. And I would put money that he would. But in a game like that, where every inch is an absolute battle, like I said, they had one snap offensively in the red zone. One. So, yeah, they were 0-1, but they had one snap at the 19-yard line and were sacked. The offense could not move the ball.
I agree, and that's why I'm cutting the defense some slack. And yes, it was probably you know, some fatigue that set in. But what you just described are mental errors. To me, those are inexcusable. Especially and yeah, you're going to have them through the course of a game. I mean, everybody does, right? But on this team, you can't afford to have them. That's just the reality of the situation, especially, Vince, as you just described, with the offense just not being able to consistently move the ball, it puts even more of a premium. And I know that's tough for the defense to have to swallow. Like you nearly have to be perfect. But just we could count on, three times, and three times it cost them dearly when there were mental errors by that defense, not from a physical standpoint, and I don't think from a tired standpoint, just from an execution standpoint. And this team needs to be razor tight or razor sharp in all of those areas. There's no room for error, unfortunately. That's just kind of the reality of the situation. Hey, real quick, I want to talk about our good friends Dos Catas Tequila, and they are partnering up with Crust and Rue over in Town Square in Las Vegas, over on Las Vegas Boulevard. That's where we're going to be having our night before home game rallies. It's also a new go-to for Raider games and NFL games, whether you're talking about Monday nights, Thursday nights, Saturday for college football, and we'll be there on Saturdays before all the home games and then Sundays as well. Crust and Rue is a modern gourmet pie company rooted in family memories. Their specialty pizza pies, dessert pies, and pot pies feature modern adaptations of soulful recipes from the childhood. It's a great place. They've partnered up with Dos Catas. They're a proud sponsor or proud colleague of Dos Catas Tequila. So great pizza, great desserts, great Italian food, great sandwiches, great bar foods, along with Dos Catas Tequila over at Crust and Rue at Town Square.
We've been getting socks every Christmas for the past 20 years. KV from the 203 says, funny that those underwear, socks, and undershirts are the only things I look forward to nowadays. You take what you can get, right?
You know what's funny is I used to sit there and be like, why am I getting socks for Christmas? I can get that any point in the year. Why am I getting socks? But now as a parent and as someone who's just got to, I got to fill that tree. I got to make that look full.
Right.
Totally get the socks now. But I digress. Clay, let's hit the phone line.
Yeah, we can never buy anything nice for ourselves. Let's get out to the phones. Parts unknown, the location with 211 Steel Reserve. Go ahead, sir.
What's up, fellas? Good morning. God bless.
Good morning.
I usually call y'all before the opener. And I couldn't get myself to do it because I didn't want to rain on everybody's hype. I kind of felt this coming, man, because you got Raider Nation hanging their hat on the score from last season, and I will always preach this. Last season doesn't carry over. Last week's game doesn't carry over to this week's game. But, you know, things don't carry over. We were talking a bunch of mess. We were calling the station, talking about 40-something to 10. Look, the Chiefs are our rival, but there is no rivalry there because we haven't gone back and forth with them as much as we should be. The Broncos are not a rivalry. They are our rival, but we've been smashing on them. Our true rivalry right now are these clowns that we just lost to. Vinny's 100%. We've been going back and forth with them, but our defense has to be so sharp this season because we don't have that room or an offense that can help us out, not yet at least. And to me, this hurts because I've been waiting 20-something-plus years to hang my hat on a defense. And I feel like we finally have that. But here we are with the offense that has the weapons, but we just can't get it right. And that, to me, as a Raider fan, that is so frustrating. It's frustrating. And then, Vinny, I know, like, you, like, I haven't heard you say this yet today, but I know that you're the voice of reason, and you say it's not time to panic. But when you lose games like this, I didn't expect to get beat down, and we didn't. I mean, we lose by 3 or whatever, okay. But in the manner that we lost this game, it's really frustrating because it is time to panic. Because at the end of the season, we're always sitting there doing the math. Oh, if this team loses, and we rely on other teams to lose. These games count, and it is time to panic now because we don't have the luxury. Fans are always saying, oh, this is the game we could win. We should beat the Panthers. We should beat so-and-so. No, we're not that team yet. We're not good enough to should beat anybody because we haven't, and we haven't done it in over 2 decades. So it's frustrating. And if I sound like I'm the season's over, it's not. But I'm really teed off, man. I'm just like, that bonehead move, like, I just felt like Minshew. I'm not going to say it's all, the blame was everywhere. The blame goes across the coaching staff, the players. But that, I just felt like when that bonehead pass, or whatever you want to call it, that kind of took the wind out of the sails, man. And you know what? They won at home. I tip my hat. They're supposed to win their home game. We got to play them again, like Max said. Let's be on the right end of it. Because right now we're on the wrong end of that beatdown on the field. And from the looks of it, we're on the wrong end on the fights in the stands. Come on, Raider Nation, why are you fighting over this? It ain't worth it. These players, these teams don't pay our bills. Nation, they don't pay our bills. Do not fight over a game. Raider Nation, holler if you hear me.
Yeah, 702-365-9200. Thanks, 211, for the call. And we're getting more thoughts here on the text line, 702-365-9200 as well. Somebody going back to the Christmas Day analogy saying, there's never a bike outside by the curb, just more trash to pick up from last week's garbage cans. Raider 66 here in Las Vegas. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Morning.
Yeah, I was afraid. I was afraid of this. You guys are going to have a real fun day today. But, yeah, the one thing is that the defense cannot be held to a 0% margin of error for the entire season. There needs to be some help. As you said, it's got to be a team effort. We all got to chip in, pitch in. And I guess the what we are seeing right now is a complete juxtaposition of offense and defense from what we had a few years ago. Remember a few years ago, oh, man, if we only had a defense, we could give up less than 20 points. Now we've got the defense and we don't have the offense that can score 20 points. Remember last year, it took until, what was it, that New England game where we got a safety at the end to get over 20 points for the first time? Mm-hmm. So the struggles are real. The struggles are there. And I guess the most disappointing or part of it is that after the offseason, the anticipation that everybody was just waiting for things to just fall into place. The Raider way was back, and we were going to be back. And when it didn't happen, as we had hoped, It is kind of a bummer, and we just kind of let down a little bit. But the season is 18 one-game seasons. We're 0-1. Next week, the job is to go 1-0 as many times as you can and just start stacking those together. But too many errors, and I'm not saying anything that people don't know. But Raider Nation, there is one positive from yesterday that we can hold our heads up high. We are not Cincinnati Bengal fans. I mean, can you believe it? At home, they lose to a rebuilding New England Patriots team. At least we didn't do that. It's on to Baltimore, guys. And, hey, we still got a shot. We just got to hang our heads up, fix these little things, and get things going our way. Thank you for the time. Have a great day.
Thank you, 66.
Raider 66, thanks for the call. I completely agree with you. And, Vinny, hear me out on this. I completely agree. It is unfair to have the Raiders' defense expected to have a zero margin of error. That being said, the NFL is unfair. It is absolutely unfair. And the way this roster is constructed, that's how it's going to be. And as much as I think the Raiders' defense played lights out on Sunday, it wasn't good enough because they needed to give even more to give their offense a chance. Now, we can talk till we're blue in the face about how the offense did not move. And like I said at the start, no defensive slander for me. But that being said, the way this team is built, it's unfair, but it's the reality, the way this roster is. What do you say, Vinny?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I disagree. You can't give up 176 yards rushing. You just can't. You can't give up two runs of over 40 yards, let alone one, you know, that's 60 yards. And those are issues that we were talking about during the preseason. It had nothing to do with being tired. And I get it. You're saying, you know, it shouldn't be the case where there's no margin of error. But what we saw in the preseason in that run defense exposed itself again on Sunday. That's something that the Raiders have to get cleaned up. It has nothing to do with the offense. It has nothing to do with tired. It has nothing to do with any of that. It was a tactical failure by the Raiders on three occasions, one for a 12-yard touchdown, which was just, again, go watch the tape. You clearly see what happened. And on those two other runs, you clearly see what happened. So I know that the defense played a good game. I'm completely with you. But it, like you said, it wasn't good enough, and you can't have those breakdowns, even, you know, with a good offense. You just can't have three times. You just that's too many. That's too many, probably, especially in a game like that.
702-365-9200. Quick call before we get to more sound from Davante Adams, Max Crosby, and more. Raider Mike in Oregon, go ahead.
Yeah, we need to sit down right now. This is ridiculous. This is not what was expected. In fact, the guy that just beat us, if we didn't rise for AP last year, would have been our head of coach. So I'm calling out AP already. You need to get this right now, because we expected way more, and it was just under-delivered. It was a joke. The tight ends were not used effectively at all, Getsy. Nothing there. Now you're going into my hornet's nest, Eastern Shore, Maryland, Baltimore. All my friends and family are Ravens. Stand up for me this week, bruh. That offensive coordinating calling was horrifying. It didn't work. It was just bad. And that weird Minshew thing, it looked like the tuck rule all over. I was like, what just happened on that? What's going on here? Is that planned? Is he getting paid at the end of the game by Vegas? I don't know, man. You better have a big sit down, AP. Get this right quickly. Love you guys. Love the show. We're frustrated, aren't we, Raider Nation?
Give us a good one. Oh, that was a good one. See, Mike feels better. 702-365-9200. We'll also get it up on the text line, brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center. Vince, Vinny, and Clay back in a few minutes. More to come here on Raider Nation Radio. In fact, coming up next, we'll hear some sound from Davante Adams, Max Crosby, Minshew, Pierce, and more. It's Raider Nation Radio.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
I don't know, man. That's hard to say. It felt like just a lot of different little things, you know. Just wasn't quite tight enough. Didn't execute in general. But I think that's going to come with time. I think we're going to get everybody on the same page. Everybody wants to get back to work. Everybody's going to be in the building tomorrow. So I feel good about our chances to get it right.
That's Raiders quarterback Gardner Minshew, following their week one 22-10 loss in Los Angeles. We've been hitting the phone lines hard today, Clay. We've been hitting them hard. People are trying to cleanse themselves.
Therapy session.
Trying to vent. Get it out before the workday gets going, before the work week gets going, because that's a tough one. Rivalry game, on the road, a lot of energy built up to that first game. That's a tough night's sleep Sunday night. Then especially when you look around the league and you see all these other quarterbacks and what they're doing, and it's tough. But hey, that's what we're here for in the Morning Tailgate. Circle of trust, a little venting session, a little therapy, if you will.
We're here for you. It's safe. Come on in. 702-365-9200. Vince, Vinny, and Clay. And Robert in San Jose. Good morning to you, sir.
Thanks for taking my call, Clay, Vince, Vinny. I guess I'll start with the good that I saw yesterday, and that was the defense. They were as I pretty much expected them to be. The backup defensive tackles I'm still a little concerned about in terms of the run fits, but overall I thought the defense played as well as I thought
they would be.
It was
the linebackers on run fits.
Yeah, you're right, Vinny. On Diablo and Spillane, both were out of position on a couple of those big runs,
yeah.
And that was, as you say, inexcusable. Andre James and Dylan Parham on the offensive line, they worry me because big guys handle them. And I don't think there's enough weight in the backside of either one of those guys to handle the big defensive tackles. I see Andre James getting shoved around way too much. And I can see why they drafted Jackson Powers Johnson. Hopefully he will be getting out there soon just to give us a little girth in the middle there. Gardner Minshew, you guys were asking last week how much patience do we have with him. And after one game, my patience is thin, if not nil. Exactly what I expected of him. There's a reason that he's never been given a starting position at the beginning of a season. He's a career backup, and he showed that yesterday. That not saying he's a bum who doesn't deserve to be in the NFL or anything like that, but he's a career backup for a reason. It's why I wanted Aiden O'Connell to win the starting job. What I saw the Chargers doing yesterday is how teams played the Raiders last season under Jimmy Garoppolo. They completely ignored anything that might be considered throwing deep, any vertical game whatsoever. They sit on the short and intermediate passes, which doubles as being closer to the line of scrimmage in terms of stopping the run. There's absolutely zero fear of this guy going over your head. Aiden O'Connell has the most arm talent on this team, period. He needs to be out there. And if we lose with him, then we get the draft pick and we can draft a quarterback. But Gardner Minshew is who we thought he is. And I'm done with him already.
All right. Thank you, Robert in San Jose. Appreciate the thought.
Yeah, just to pick up real quick on something he said about Andre James, Dylan Parham. I didn't necessarily see when I was looking back at the tape in terms of them getting pushed around on a consistent basis. It did happen. But for me, it was more they just missed on their execution in terms of who they needed to. They just weren't quick enough to get where they were going, especially when it came to the running game, Vinny. It was one of those things that, you know, like I said, I thought the passing game, the line held up fine outside, you know, of those back-to-back plays. And a lot of it, I was going back, I was trying to figure out, you know, did Gardner not get it out? Did he not climb the pocket? You know, what was going on there? Better experts would have a better idea on that. But when it came to the run game, I mean, it was just blatant, flat-out missed blocks all along the offensive line. A lot of it occurred on that interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, just one more thing that the Raiders can't afford to do is not execute along the offensive line. You know, I wrote about this today. There's a recipe for success for the Raiders, but the Raiders have to follow a very detailed roadmap to get there. And yesterday they veered so far off the road. I got to wonder about their GPS system. Maybe it needs to be rebooted or something like that, because that's the you just can't do the things that they did yesterday, and that includes what you just talked about. Failures along the offensive line just to execute. And so it's back to the drawing board for the Raiders on a lot of different levels, you know, and you know, including the run fit. And I'm not trying to bash the defense whatsoever. They played, you know, in a lot of ways a winnable game. What it points out to me, though, is that they can't afford to have any errors with this kind of an offense right now. Like, if your offense is scoring, you know, if you comfortably can go into any game expecting 25 to 31 points a game, yeah, you can have a breakdown here or there. You have that cushion. You have that leeway. But this defense, unfortunately, doesn't. And quite honestly, on those run fits, those are inexcusable. Those are mental errors that get stressed and talked about and coached up. And you know, when you have linebackers that are just doing the wrong thing, it's inevitable that you're going to pay a steep price for that. And the Raiders did yesterday.
702-365-9200 is the number. Keep your thoughts coming. In the third hour, coming up next, we'll hear from Davante Adams, Max Crosby, more from Minshew, more from Pierce, even Alexander Mattison. It's Raider Nation Radio here on a Blue Monday.